In the name of Jesus, and there is power in the name of Jesus, and there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Church, let's stand on up. Got any Bowie fans out there? It's not Vanilla Ice. I know it sounds like Vanilla Ice, but it's not Vanilla Ice.
Boom ba be, boom boom ba be, boom boom ba baby. Pressure pushing down on me, pushing down on you. No man asked for under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on the streets. Boom ba be, boom ba be, D-Data. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about. Watching some good friends screaming, let me out. Where tomorrow takes me higher. Pressure on people, people on the streets. Da 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 da.
Anybody feeling some pressure in life, huh? Anybody alive? There we go. If you're alive, maybe you're feeling some pressure. We're just here to worship God. We're just going to have a quick welcome. Awesome that everybody's here today. I want to welcome those online. We have about 15 to 20 people, youth down in Ocean City, and it's called Winter Wonderland now. So we're glad we don't live down there, right? We just had enough to be annoying, enough snow to be annoying. But they're having an awesome time. We have 15 or 20 from our church, but then we also, I know Jennifer Lagella leads a group also, and they have about the same there. So there's probably 40 people who have been associated with this church that are down there. So we'll pray for the leaders and everything else, but they're having an awesome time. And statistics show that if people, young people, come to Christ early, that they will in their teens, they will accept Christ and live a long life in Christianity. So it's a very strategic point and a very important part to have people connect together. So we're glad you're here, and we just want to go in and worship the Lord. Let's just open with prayer today. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just thank you for who you are and your Holy Spirit in our midst. We just pray that whatever you have for us here today, God, that you will touch our hearts and our lives in so many special ways, and just be more real and new to us, and give us these things that help us grow deeper and more connected with you. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
The government. is all you need, and love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And now be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not. Your door, oh. In the moment of truth, when your heart hits the floor and you're on your knees, and love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. Be alright. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Oh, 'cause even in the dark, you can still see the light. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. And love will hold us together. Make us a shelter to weather the storm. And now be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not
One of the key things in life is worship, and it's not just that we come together in a place and sing and congregate together and consider this worship. Worship is a lifestyle, and you'll hear me talk a little bit about that today. And at the beginning of the week, like for me, at times there may be a statement or there may be something else, but for me, a lot of times a song, it just puts me in a worship mood and gets me in a place where I'm just thinking and focusing on God and what He does. And this song was in my head all week, and then Wayne sent something out to us in the worship team, and I've woken up every day and been singing in my head. And so what I want you to do now is just don't worry about the words. They're easy. You'll pick them up. But what I want you to just focus on God. We're not doing anything if we're not giving God the worth that He deserves and just praising Him. So this is a song called Good, Good Father. Many of you may know it. And it's really, really easy words. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. No matter what you went on through 2016, no matter what you're going through now, you have a good, good Father who loves you. So we're just going to worship the Lord and sing Good, Good Father to Him.
Of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Searching for answers far and wide.
are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Sing along.
Oh, it's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. It's peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Sing along.
You're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
What I want us to do right now is I just want to sing that verse one and one more time chorus and just sing it to our good, good Father. Sing it to the goodness of God in your life right now. Just worship the Lord.
Oh, and I heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are,
it's who you are,
it's who you are, and I'm
loved by you.
It's who I am, it's who I am.
God, I just thank you that you are just a good, good Father. You're great. We just love you. God, as we meet here today, I just ask that your Holy Spirit just fill this place and fill our lives and our hearts and minds. We ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Just say hi to people around you as our kids go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. All right. Good morning, everyone. Oh, you guys, that we got to do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. That's very good. It's great to have everybody here today. we are beginning. We definitely want to pray for Joanne and Debbie as in their leadership this week. I know Debbie had been sick, right? Okay, so she spent how many hours? Three? A couple hours? Huh? 2 hours over waiting to get help at one of the care centers. So she's here and ready to roll, right? There we go. So, but we have our rotating shelter week this week, and so we want to make sure that we go ahead and be praying for that and for everyone involved with that. If you look on your sheet, there are two overnights needed. One man or woman overnight on Monday, the 9th, which is tomorrow, and one for next Sunday, January 15th, one man or woman overnight is needed there. And everything else is pretty good, right? Couple of food items of fruits and vegetables and other stuff. So if you're willing to contribute or participate or be part of that, see Joanne or Debbie, and they'll make sure that they get that to you. All right. Meeting after church, where? Out in the lounge area. So meeting over there. Awesome. Great, works for me. Disciple 3. We will have our intro meeting this week, this Thursday at 6:30. If you've not already registered and like to participate. You can do that or contact, you can do that at havencc.org, or you can contact Debbie DeVirgilio for more information. Year-end tax letters are all out on the table, so if you gave financially and you have those as a record, go ahead and pick those up, because, like it or not, you're going to have to pay taxes again. I know you can tell them that you did last year, and they won't like that at all. You'll have to do it again. So you want to make sure you get that for those reasons. The Bible study for tween girls will be on Tuesdays, 6 to 8, starting this Tuesday, January 10th. Anything else we need to mention, Rachel? We good there with the tween girls? Okay, if you weren't here and didn't get your book, Rachel does have the books that are there if you want to participate in that. Dining for Women, Mardi Gras, save the date, Wednesday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. That's crazy, isn't it? Doesn't it seem? In case you want to mark your calendars, April 16th is Easter. So didn't we just finish Christmas, and now we're ready to Easter, so we will be talking about that. And there'll be a lot of stuff, so is that the onset? No, it's right around Fat Tuesday and other kinds of stuff like there. Ash Wednesday and all those things will be here. And so we will also probably end up doing our church-wide study, which we tend to do every year around this time and during Lent, and so that's good. And again, we talked about rotating shelter that we have there. Also, Paris Foundation next Sunday. So mark your calendars for Paris Foundation for next Sunday if you'd like to help with those things. Again, keep all the youth that are down in Ocean City and the leaders in your prayers as God is ministering to them. Right? Everybody good? Okay. We have one prayer request that's given here. Emily has asked for prayers for Sarah Mullins. She's still sick. There's been a lot of bad stuff. Pray for our mother. She went for 5-6 hours, something like that. So she topped you, Debbie. She sat in there for 6 hours waiting in a facility, waiting to get treatment. She did. So it's all this respiratory kind of mess. And so we want to pray for anybody who's had that. Anybody had that? Anybody had any of that sickness stuff? I do want to lift Randy up in prayer as a PTL. Randy, right? Randy had some heart surgery, right? And he is no longer AFib, right? So praise the Lord for that. We're excited about it. All right. And for some of you who were here several weeks ago, and I was sharing about forgiveness, you remember that before Christmas? There was a lady I talked about. Her name was Trixie, and Trixie's here with us today. And Trixie's, I see her. I love her death, and we haven't got a chance to see much of each other over the last several years, but when I called her, she's just an awesome person, and it's always good to get hold of her neck and give her a good hug. And believe me, she's a hugger, right? There she is. So she may not know you, but she may hug you, so look out. But she's awesome, so it's great to have her here. Anything else we need to lift up on our prayer concerns? Gary, yes, definitely. Continue to lift Gary up in your prayers. The fever's down. And blood pressure is down. We want it to stay there, and we want those things down, and we want to get Gary back up. All right. So, and we want to let Liz get some rest and give her strength to be praying for that. So the Amen Corner is missing a lot lately without Gary. So you guys got to make up for it.
All right? Those songs we sang today, we would heard a big amen from Gary. So we need to have that. We do welcome you here, and hopefully if you received a card as a visitor coming in, you'll fill that out. You can take that out. We have a small gift for you. Thank you for being here. But also, if you're visiting online, by all means, send us an email, send us something, go to our Facebook page, let us know that you're watching and participating. And so we're just grateful to God that everybody's here. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right, at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and this is the time where we stop to just give you thanks and praise. And additionally, God, it's the time where we also decide to give out of the abundance that you've given to us through your tithe and our offerings. And so, Lord, during this time, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your abundance. Thank you for your gifts. God, thank you just for being there for us when everything else fails and everybody else fails. You are consistent. You are God. And so, Lord, the prayers that we've lifted up, there's been a lot of illness and a lot of sickness going on, not only in our church, but in our community and all around. And so, God, I just ask that you just bring your healing and restoration to those individuals, particularly Sarah Mullen, who we lifted up today. Prayers, she's conspicuous by her absence, but we know that, God, you are bringing restoration and healing to her as we speak. God, for the youth, not only ours, but all those around the peninsula that are meeting down in Ocean City in a very snow-clad, filled Ocean City, God, I just ask that your spirit met them as they walked in the door down there, and that they'll come to know you in an intimate, powerful way. For those who may be traveling or who are away with us and maybe joining or part of our online church, I give you thanks for them, wherever they may be. Those who are there that are that maybe for one reason or another they have sickness or some other kind of illness and some other kind of thing that they may be ministering to someone. God, I ask for your spirit to be with them and to touch their hearts and their lives, and that you'll just minister something special to them. And God, I just want to pray for this church. I pray that you'll just empty it out of me. You'll empty it out of each of us, and that you'll fill it with your spirit. That the one thing that'll be recognized through the ministry is Jesus. That people will see you in a deeper and a more loving, compassionate way. And so, God, as we take the rest of this time, we give you thanks once again for all the gifts that you've given to us. Bless the tither and the giver. Your scripture and your word says that you love a cheerful giver. And God, we give not out of begrudgingly, but we give so that you can do your ministry here and that you'll multiply and use that, just as you did with the loaves and fish so many years ago, and that your will be done here on earth. For this and all the things, God, we just commit the rest of this time to you and our lives to you. We ask that, Jesus, be real. Be real to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Be still, be still, and know that I am God. Be still. Be still, know that
Good morning. This morning's scripture is from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24. An intelligent person aims to wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions.
We sang that song, Big Still. I was going to get people to check your pulse. You guys are real still right now. So I was like, hey, is everybody like doing the mannequin challenge? All right. All right. Everybody good? Good. Yeah, a little bit of snow freaks us out, doesn't it? So, all right. Last week, I know it was New Year's Day. And so we started New Year's Day with a new series called The Five. And we have that up here. And basically, we kind of set some things up. And the series is based off of a guy named John Maxwell. John Maxwell is the leadership person. Anybody ever heard of John Maxwell? Okay. John Maxwell, if you've been in any kind of business, he has become one of the go-to guys about building leadership kind of things. And he was a pastor for some time, and he's just a really, really good on leadership. Sometimes I've had audiobooks from him that I've just ridden on the lawnmower just to hear things, and he gives an insight that many people don't have. He's just a very, very gifted, very inspirational speaker when you get to hear him. He's really kind of cool. But one of the things he talked about is he came up with this rule of five, basically saying that there are five things that successful people do. And they do regularly. And last week I had an axe up here. And I was talking about how, you know, how many of you ever chopped down a tree? Anybody? Okay. And how many of y'all did it in one day? You chopped down the tree in one day? Okay. How many of you would have rather had a couple days to do that? And so what Maxwell says is it's like taking what successful people do. It's like chopping down a tree, and they come out and they hit it five times. One day, they put the axe down. They go back. They come back out, hit it five times. The next day, they go back home. The next day, they come out, they hit it five more times, and they keep doing that. And eventually, what's going to happen? The tree's going to fall down, and you're not going to be worn out. How many of you ever try to chop the tree down in 500 hits, and you're just exhausted, and you're like, you give up. Sometimes we give up hitting the tree. And he said, often what we do, and what we were talking about last week, often what we do is we make New Year's resolutions, and we make them, and then we forget about them, you know, in life. We get frustrated by them, and so we forget about them. And so what I want to do is to not have us have a New Year's resolution, but for us to look at a New Year's revolution in our lives, a takeover by God. And today what we're going to talk about is the first section of this, and this is called the front five, okay? The front five, and the front five are going to be the things up front that we need to do. In Proverbs, our main verse for today is Proverbs 17, which Rachel read for us. And it's in your bulletin, and it says, an intelligent person. An intelligent person is someone who attends Haven Community Church, right? There you go. Now you guys are awake. Here we go. Now the people online are, yeah, okay. So an intelligent person is someone who does what? Aims at wise what? Everybody say that again? Action. Action is doing something. Like I can look at the calendar clicking from 2016 to 2017. I say, I believe I'm going to lose weight this year. I believe it. But if I don't do anything, if I eat the same garbage that I fill my face with normally, and if I sit as sedentary as I like to, I'm not going to lose weight. I can say, guess what? I am going to have the best marriage ever this year. And if I don't do anything to make it that way, if I don't spend any extra time with my wife, if I don't tell her that I love her, if I don't put it to action and have date nights and stuff, guess what? It's going to be no better than it was the year before and I dare say if I don't do anything, it will be worse. With me? Okay? And you can apply that to any area of your life. This year, I'm really going to love my job, But then we take an action, a negative action, we're going to talk bad about everybody. So it's about action that brings about the result. It's not about just hoping and wishing. And so it's wise actions, ancient wise action. But the fool does what? Goes off in many directions. How many of you looked at your calendars? How many have foolish calendars? That they go in every different direction. And that's one of the things that we do see. So honestly, what I in doing a lot of self reflection, on my own, and also about my own personal life and everything, I got to tell you what I really don't want, and for my life, and I hope you don't want it for your life or for this church, is Christianity as usual. That's just something I check off on a list that I'm a Christian. But I said last week that I believe the word that God has for us is deeper. And I really believe that God wants us to go into a deeper relationship. And it's something that I want. And so today, I'm going to have a simple message. Okay, you may say it's always simple, Jack. But I'm going to have a simple message, and it's going to simply be this. Put God up front. Put God up front in your life. And that's really what we're going to talk about. Putting God up front. And it's interesting, the Ten Commandments, anybody heard of those things? You remember those? Ted Turner says we need to change some of them. But that's Ted Turner. But here's what I want to share about the Ten Commandments. One of the first ones was, "You shall have what? No other gods before me." I mean, God's not saying you can't have good stuff. God's not saying you can't have fun. God's not saying you can hate every second that the Cowboys are in the playoffs and the Eagles are out. God's not saying that. As a matter of fact, that's biblical. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Trust me. God is not saying that at all. But what he's saying is, those things can't be over him in life. And as I look at my life, there are things in my life that have taken precedence over God's call and just my relationship with God in life, if I'm honest, right? Is it okay if we're honest here and not, don't play church? Is that okay? All right. So here we go. So that's what we want to do. In other words, we want the presence and the power of God manifest in our lives. Anybody want that? Anybody want that? So that's what we're going to talk about, by having no other gods. So what we really want to do is put God up front, to put him first. And what happens when we put God up front, everything else gets blessed. Like, for instance, Jesus said that when he said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things." Oh, how many things? All these things will be added to you as well. So you put God up front, and everything else starts to fall in place. All right? So today, I'm going to give you the front five, or what it is going to be is the spiritual five. Okay, remember last week, I gave you blanks in there. Those of you who saw the sermon, if you missed it, go ahead and check it out online. And I gave you five blanks, and I want you to come up with your five things that you believe can really make an impact on your life. And I said that you'll be switching those and adjusting those maybe a little bit. But today I want to give you the spiritual five, the things I think that need to be up front for all the other stuff to add as well. Is that okay? Because that's what I got. And there we go. All right. You know, and I'm going to tell you this. This is going to be really cool. You know this list. But I'm just going to hit it again. It's an easy sermon because you probably heard it before. But I think we need to hear this. Number one. Everybody ready for number one? Drum roll. Number one, prayer. Prayer. Most of us want to love praying, but I would dare say most of us don't like it or are scared to death of it. Like, for instance, if I ask you, anybody here, to come up front and pray for us this day, how many of you would be really freaked out? Nobody wants to raise their hand because they're afraid I'm going to do it, don't you? Yeah, you know. No, I wouldn't do that to you. But many of us, if I said, "Hey, who would lead us in prayer today?" We'd be like, "Ah," right? You get that thing where your butt gets a little bit tenser and you're like, you're a little bit like, and you do that hiding out in the open where people go. You ever see people hide in the open? All right, we do that because, oh my gosh, they're going to ask me to pray. And some people are freaked out by that. Even in Bible study groups, they'll come together and they'll say, "Who would like to pray?" And people go, you're like, and so it, and you know why? It's because we've been taught wrong about prayer. Now, I will tell you, prayer is communication. How many of you are good at talking to people? Let me try it this way. How many of you ever talked to someone? Okay? How many, when you see somebody coming that you know and you love and you care about, they go, oh my gosh, they're going to come to me. I got to talk to them. All right, I don't want to talk to them. Oh, there's Rachel. I don't want to talk to her. Oh, no. Right? No, none of us do that. Right? I see Trixie today. I went right over and give her a big old hug. Hey, Trixie, how you doing? Like that. I can talk to her because I know her, I love her, I care about her. And I can do that with many of you. I've seen you at Walmart, and I have great conversations with you in Walmart. Just imagine if you walked into God in Walmart. I don't know what he's shopping for, but maybe something. All right? But God's going into Walmart. He goes in there, and all of a sudden you see him in aisle five, and you're like, no. Hi, God. Hi, God. Good. Can I say that? Hello, magnificent, wonderful, fantastic God. Please don't smite me. You know, and that's the opinion we have. We have this grandiose thought that we have to pray in King James English. Oh, thou'st wonderful being in the cloudeth of higheth. And we're scared to death. It's about communication, and God just wants to talk to us. Jesus said, call him daddy. And you know, anytime my dad calls, even when I was in trouble, the only time I was in trouble was the only time I didn't want to talk to my dad, right? And some of us feel like that is always the way we talk to God, our father, to our daddy, when all he wants to do is just say, hey, how you doing? And just check in with us. Now, growing up in church, I was in youth groups, and in Sunday school and all this stuff, and they would always do this thing. They thought it was a great idea. And how many of you ever, how many grew up in church here and remember Sunday school? And they would do the thing where you would grab hands and stand in a prayer circle and let us pray. And the leader would start off and give a prayer. Does anybody remember any of this? Okay. And they would pray. And then the next person, if you didn't have anything to pray about, you'd squeeze the hand of the person next to you. Right? Now, I remember you always had the sum that would say something. And so the person would say, thank you, God, for bringing them together. And they'd stop. And then it was like breakdancing, you know, all the way around. And the person would say, God, thank you. We know that people have needs. Or you'd have the one person that would pray. And if you had a big group, somebody would pray in there. And they would take what you did. And it was so stressful. What am I going to pray for now? Oh, my gosh. And you just, boom, it was like before it got here, bam, you were ready to grab that hand and move on. Right? I'm not praying, right? Nobody was sleeping there, boom, like that. You go as quick as you want. We've got a wrong idea about prayer. It's wrong. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, pray continually. Now, if it's the way we were taught, bow your head, close your eyes. When I'm driving down the road, nobody wants to be praying like that, right? Nobody wants me at the baseball field with a bat going, yeah, God, please let me hit the whack, you know, upside the head. It's not healthy to do that. It's to be in constant conversation with God. I'm going to tell you what it's like. You ready for this? It's like Snapchat. Anybody have Snapchat? Anybody automatically? See, you guys are too old. You don't have that Snapchat. Anybody have texting? You know how, like, it comes right to your phone and you're like, oh, and you respond? That's what God wants. He wants a daily conversation with you. He just wants to talk to you. Snapchat God. Say, God, look, selfie, what do you think? You made this, right? Do it. Do it. It's okay. It's cool to do that with God. That's what he wants. That's how you pray continually. In Psalm 68:19, it says, David said, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. God just says, tell me your mess so I can take it off of you. That's a good thing to have. Don't make prayer a big event. Don't make it something grandiose. Don't make it like, oh my gosh, prayer like I've been talking about. Don't make prayer an event. Make it a lifestyle. We all need a snap streak with God. If you don't know what that is, ask somebody younger than 18. They'll tell you. Right? I'll tell you. Forget it. These kids, they Snapchat with each other. And if it's just like, I'm taking a picture of myself or I'm going to take a picture of my shoe just so I keep that streak going. And they've got year-long streaks every day. That's what we need to do with God. If we can do it with somebody and we see their shoe, God wants to see our shoe. Blessed are the feet of them who bring good news. It's scriptural. All right? Right? God wants to spend time with you. I want to show you one of the greatest prayers I've ever heard in public. It's by a pastor named Joe Nelms. Go ahead, Melinda.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise.
Crank it up a little bit.
Our colors are presented by the United States Army Nashville Recruiting Battalion. We ask you to remain standing for our invocation delivered tonight by Joe Nelms, pastor of Family Baptist Church in Lebanon, Tennessee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for our national anthem, presented by Danny Flowers.
Have you ever heard anybody cheer like that at a prayer? We pray. Nobody cheered today when I prayed for an offering. I just said, boogity, boogity, boogity. Amen, right? That's awesome. That's awesome. And guess what? The same conversation he's going to have with his wife and his kids is the same one he has with his daddy. And we got to get over how we make prayer this thing and start making it this communication with God. Isn't that awesome? Pray, thanks God in front of everybody for a smoking hot wife. That's awesome. Even pray for Sunoco Fuel, man. That is, how awesome is that? That's a great, great prayer. I love it. I love it. So that's what we want to do. There are three things that make prayer work, and I want to share them briefly with you. Number one, time. Time. You need to set aside your time to pray. Remember last week, those of you who were with us, I talked about adding God to your calendar. You need to set that time in your calendar with God, a time to pray. Your time. We teach our kids a certain time. We teach our kids at bedtime. Now I lay me down to sleep, right, don't we, when we're little? And we also teach them right before we eat, okay? So we have time for our kids, but we need time for us to just really communicate with God, and even throughout the day, but we need some time just to be still and go ahead and have that. David said, look at what David said in Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, what's his time? In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay down my request before you, and I wait in expectation. When was David's time? In the morning. He wanted to start that day off right so that whatever came, he was going to have that time. And so for us, we need to have that special time where we set aside to chat and hear from God and throughout the day to always be available to him. That's number one. Number two is place. We need to have a specific place. For some of you, it may be walking around the neighborhood, just going for a walk. You won't be bothered this time of year because it'll be cold. Put on your Under Armour cold gear and go for it. Just walk out there with God and talk. For me, a lot of times it's in a den that used to be my office in the basement. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you have to lock the door. Sometimes you have to put a sign on and say, do not disturb. You just have to carve out that time for you. Other times, it may be, like in the summertime, cutting grass. Okay, for me, it's always been a time where it's just focused and at home, and I just sit, and it's just me and God, and nobody's bothering me because nobody's going to come out because they know they'll have to cut grass or do something. So it's a great time for that. I tell you, there was a place as a kid that I loved dearly, and my friends and I used to go there, and I used to go there whenever I just needed to stop and think and talk to God. And the other week, I was just having a moment, a big bad moment in my own life, and so I just needed to get away from everyone and everything. You ever have those? Okay, and what I did is I went to Turkey Point. Anybody know Turkey Point? Just keep on hitting. If you go too far, you'll end up in the water. Down there, and it's just a place to go, and there could be 1,000 people there, and you won't see maybe two of them. So it's just a great place to go and walk around and just to get in contact with God and say, and just do what we sang, be still. still know that he is God. So the place has a major place. Jesus had a special place. Garden of Gethsemane was one of his special places. But he had another place. If you look in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, look when it talks about Jesus' time and place. Very early in the what? Morning. In the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Now, you know, that's amazing because they didn't have alarm clocks back then. And you basically lived from sun up to sundown. Jewish calendar and days actually go sundown. But what we see here is very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off where? To a solitary place. It was his place where he prayed. He had a place where he would get together. That's number two. The next thing is a plan. Now, many of us don't think about a plan. Now, I know one of the other things I will tell you, and let me drop back a little bit. Any relationship that you have a special place. Like I can tell you, Melissa and I, our first date, we went to Bennigan's. Anybody remember that in Newark? That was our first place. They tore it down now, and our relationship's longer than Bennigan's, so that works. That's awesome. But that was our special place. We now have other special places. We go to New York City. We have a special place we stay. We have a special place we eat. We have our special places because we have a relationship where we connect, and we have those things. So I want you to do that, too. Number three, the plan. Plan. It's really important to have a game plan. I'm a big proponent of having outlines or notes when you sit down and pray. It's just good to, have you ever been, I remember back in the dating days, which were back in the dark ages, I'd hitch up the dinosaur and go pick him up. But I remember going on a date, and I remember going on a date with a really good looking girl, and we had nothing to say. I know you're amazed that I had nothing to say. But, you know, it just didn't click. You know, anybody ever remember those days where you just spend time with people and there's absolutely nothing to say and you're like tick-tock, okay. You know, you don't want to just say, well, this thing is horrible. Let's go home. You don't want to do that. But you just kind of make up stuff. You make up conversations. So, how's school? That good, huh? Are you working anywhere? I mean, when you get to those kind of topics, it's a bad date, just letting you know. When that happens, same thing with God. Sometimes we go to pray and talk to God, and we're like, So how's the universe? You know, and we're bored, and we're done. Have a game plan, things you want to talk to God. If Jesus was standing right here, which he is, what would you want to say to him? What would you want to hear from him? Have that outline. Jesus gave us an outline, and for the Jewish people, they lived in outlines and ways that you would do this. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, the Lord's Prayer is an outline. It's not a prayer. It's an outline. We've made it into a prayer, but the disciples were saying, hey, can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus says, yeah, here you go. And look at what he says here in his prayer. It says, when you pray, say, our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into, but deliver us from the evil one. And then, et cetera, et cetera, gain power, glory, right, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you're saying, Jack, that sounds like a prayer to me. It is, but it isn't. It's an outline. What does he say? Our Father. In other words, he says, start by worshiping God. Just start your prayer by, just start your plan by saying, I'm going to worship God for who you are. Then, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know what that means? That means you do what you want to do. I want you in my life to do what you want to do. Then you say, then it's your turn. Give us this day our daily bread. I need something. Most of the time, if you're like me, I come to prayer like, oh God, please help me. And I haven't said time to say, hi, hey, you're awesome. I haven't said that. And whatever happens, I want you to do what you want to do, God. But I need this. All right? Give us this day our daily bread. And then there's this thing about, and forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive me, I'm going to forgive them. That's it. That's a hard issue. So here we go. We're worshiping God. We're saying, I want you to do what you want to do. I might not like it, but you're going to do it. And then I need, but I'm going to forgive because you have me. And then I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, it's all good because you're in control. Your kingdom. So it's a plan. Isn't that awesome? Does that make it easier? You feeling better about that? All right, just whatever pops out, say it. It's good. This is the Lord's Prayer format. We need to return to prayer. And the goal of prayer is found in Jeremiah 29. For what happens, he says, when you pray, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That's the goal of prayer. It's not just to, he's not like Santa Claus in the sky, just meeting our checklist. You know, he wants you to find him and your heart to find it. Number two, the second thing. So that's prayer. Everybody got prayer down? All right. Number two, the word. Get into the word. Get into the word of God. Get into the word of God. Now, most of the time anymore, I use an iPad or something because you can make the print bigger. You can just go like this. Or I put on the reading glasses now and feel, and you know, I was telling my daughter and her friends last night, you cannot look cool with these things on, you know. And so I'm dealing with not looking as cool as I normally do with glasses down here. All right. But it works, right? Those of you who have them, it works. Okay. So you have that, and that makes the print bigger. Get into the word of God. Don't get bogged down by it. Many people say, okay, this year I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to read God's word. And then you start and you get behind and then you feel bogged down and you feel frustrated and then you quit. Don't do that. It's not a resolution. The Bible is alive. And don't beat yourself up if you get behind. Guess what? The Bible's still going to be there. Keep on going. Move on. God's not going to be like, you have missed a day. I will smite thee. No, he doesn't care about that. He wants you in his word because the Bible has these gems in it. Just gems that leap out to you. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And ever. The word of God stands forever. On Facebook, every day on the Haven Facebook page. I'm going to try to get talk to the web staff and go ahead and get this linked in there. But the one-year Bible online. The one-year Bible online is awesome. And you can read some. There's like four or five scripture lessons each day that you read that are very brief. It's if anybody's been following it, I looked the first day I put it on there, it was like 235 people that went there. We have about anywhere from like 130 to 160 people that are checking this out. Yeah, I made it super easy. You can go ahead, and actually they made it super easy. They're all listed. You can go open it up, click on it. It takes you right to the Bible verse, so you don't have to flip through a Bible. It has them all there on Bible Gateway, and I'm going to give you something else awesome. Yesterday I was riding down the road, and I didn't have time to sit and do it. Remember, pray continually. So you know what I did? I hit the audio version, and I had a British guy read it to me. It was awesome, right? Because when I read, I don't talk, right? You, Trixie, the British people? Okay, she's British. So, you like, for instance, they were reading it to me, and I don't read like that. I'm like, and Abraham said, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So, do that. It's okay. It's okay. We have so many opportunities, and we're throwing it up there for you to do it every day. Just get that little bit of gem or nugget that God has for you. You know, and I will tell you, as I read, sometimes I don't remember everything I read. I don't remember absolutely any of it. And so yesterday, I know I read about Abraham. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on. There's a lot of laughing about old people, real old people, like in their 90s and plus and 100 having kids. I was like, what the heck? You know. And so I've heard it. I've read it, had that stuff. But one thing that leapt out to me, which I thought was very awesome, was the verse on prayer. And when you pray. And he started talking about when you pray, don't go and do it on the street corners. Do this. Go into your prayer closet. Go by yourself and talk to your Father who is in heaven and just talk to him. And then it went into the exact thing I just shared with you today. I don't believe that's my mistake. I believe that's God speaking to us. Today was, I don't remember what I read today. It was more stuff about Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, all kinds of stuff like that. But what I do remember was seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay? Seek, ask, seek, knock. Okay, those are the things that remember. And I'm going to carry that with me today because that's what God wanted to speak to me. Okay, so that's what I want to challenge you to do. Get into the word. The word of God is awesome. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it and you will be prosperous and successful. That you have it there. Psalm 1:1 tells us to delight in the law of the Lord and you'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water. Grab onto the promises of God. In John, if you're getting beat down, the promises from 1 John 4:4 is greater than he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many need that this week and for your life? What about this? In Romans chapter 8 Verse 37, that we in him we are made more than conquerors. You feel like a conqueror? In Christ, you are made more than conquerors. If you got money issues, anybody got money issues? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Does that sound good? Is that a good plan? Take that to the bank, all right? That'll work for you, all right? And for me, when you if you're afraid, if you're fear, there's a lot of fear in people. For me, Psalm 91, though 1,000 will fall to the right and 10,000 to the left, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I remember we were in Israel one time. This lady, they had these little stones sticking out, and she hit her foot and fell down. And the word that God gave me, that he will send his angels to guard you, lest you strike your foot upon the stone. All right? She had a little bleeding, but she wasn't broken. Okay? It works. Anybody have kids who started driving? Anybody remember those days? Here's where you go. I'm going to give you the verse for you. In Psalm 121:8, God will bless our coming and going. Pray that every time they leave the house. You need that. All right, if you, how many like going to the dentist? Okay, if you're going to the dentist, here you go. Crown him with many crowns. Just joking. Okay. But there is a verse in Psalm 81 that says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. There you go. There's a dentist verse. So, all right. So number three, worship. Worship. We talked a little bit about worship today. Worship. It's an attitude of just thanking God and grateful to God. And to live there. The reason why we had an extra song today, Good, Good Father, is just because this week I needed that song. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just need something and God speaks to you in a way. And to me this week, he was just saying, he's a good, good father. It's who he is. That all the other stuff in the world is garbage. It's all just stuff. It's all going to come and go. But guess what? He is a good, good father. It's who he is. And everything else falls into place from our good, good father. Psalm 34, 1. In the New Living Translation says, I will praise the Lord at how many times? All times. I will certainly speak his promises. You want to freak somebody out? Go through the drive-thru and they give you your food and it's all right and say, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for my good food. That will go, what is wrong with this person? Right? Give God just praise in all things. All right? That's good, the bad, the other things. Give him praise. So we have prayer, we have the word, we have worship. And what else are we going to add to this thing? Fellowship. Fellowship. Every day, surround yourself with the right people. Some of us are around the wrong people. Some of us have, as a friend of mine used to say, been hooking our dinghy to the Titanic for too long. Think about that one. All right? The Titanic's going to suck you down. You anybody have any know any of those people in your life? Anybody know those people that just, you see them and they are just sucking you down and you're like trying to paddle, and they're pulling you down and we say, I want to help them. They're sucking you down. You know, right? You're still going to drown. There's sometimes we need to cut that off. Hebrews chapter 3, 13 says this, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that some of you may be maybe hardened by the sins of deceitfulness. The next one, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 in your bulletin. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see day approaching. Encourage one another. So we have prayer. I just want to say a little bit more about that. I think we just need to spend fun time with us. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that bothers me some about Christians is we feel like the only time we can come together is if we sing a hymn or throw a Bible on the table. God just wants us to be family, right? He wants us to just hang out and have fun. When's the last time you went skiing with people that you just have fun with, right? That just are Christian people. When's the last time that you just said, hey, let's get together for dinner. Let's do something. We sit next to each other all the time, and some of us don't know many people. So one of the coolest things is going to be, I'm going to sit down Thursday night with several people who are in here and from other places on a disciple Bible study, and some of you will never have met each other. And by the time we are done that, you will form a relationship with them that will last forever. Forever and ever. Anybody taking disciple, am I right? And that will happen. And that's going to be an awesome thing that happens. That's what happens in your small groups and the ministries that are there. It happens because you sit together and you spend time with each other. And that's what we need to do. We spend a lot of time with people who are sucking us down. So we need prayer, we need the word, we need fellowship. And then this last one, not many of us are going to like it, but it's reverence and awe. What do you mean by that, Jack? I mean a lot by this. I mean that every day we need to stop and give God reverence and awe. I believe that the church over the last 30 years or so has spent a lot of time making church comfortable for us. We spend a lot of time, how can we reach others by doing something to the gospel? But ultimately, one of the things that I think we've lost is reverence for God. It doesn't matter whether it's contemporary or traditional. If I brought a pipe organ up here and played, or if I had a fiddle and we all danced around and did The Devil Went Down to Georgia. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter music. It does not matter. Anybody hear that? It does not matter. It doesn't matter the instrument. The Apostle Peter did not carry around a pipe organ on his back so that they could play it. It doesn't matter. They didn't even have drums with them that were going. Like John was not on the drums, all right? Justin was. But no, they didn't do that. Those are awesome and they add to worship. But what is the matter is the attitude of heart that we have a reverence for God and say, I am here, you are here. And I need to love you and honor you because of who you are. Not to bring God down to here, but to have God bring us up here. That's what we need. Reverence and awe. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. I die every day. In other words, I got to look at myself for who I am and recognize that, God, you are awesome, and I should die. I got to die to myself and live for you. I got to do that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what that means? That's about death, dying to self and living for Christ, letting the reverence and awe of God come to us and influence and help our lives. So these are five things, the front five. You got them? All right. Now I'm going to tell you, remember the verse we started with was? An intelligent person, who's intelligent here? An intelligent person aims at wise action. You got five things up front that you can go ahead and put into wise action. The fool heads off in many directions. Go ahead and just start to apply these things easily. Guess what I'm going to tell you? There's going to be times where you stop and you forget not to pray. Don't beat yourself up. Just talk to him. Say, sorry, God, got a couple seconds here. Hey, I just love you, and I just want you to do what you want to in my life. You know what I need? And yeah, that person who said that about me, I'm gonna do the best to forgive them. You got to help my unbelief. Let's go ahead. All right? God, you're awesome, and I'm just great. Sometimes you may just have to throw on a song just to go ahead and get yourself still. Have your place. Have your plan. Take some time for God. I'm telling you, you are too busy not to take time to pray. You're too busy not to worship God. And we just need to hear from him. Sound good? Remember that verse when you go to the dentist. All right? You got that one. All right, worship team, come on up. So we're just going to finish this off this way today. And again, you guys heard that before, right? Some of you may have heard that before, but God wants to talk to you. So everybody, in the words of James Brown, get on up, okay? Get on up. So I'm going to just open. I'm going to just have a prayer. And again, there's going to be individuals who are open to pray with you. Remember, fellowship. Spend some time together. Hey, you may see somebody. God may be telling you right now there's somebody that you just like to spend time with. Okay? Just like to take a little bit of time with. Stop and do that. So God, we just come to you now, and I want to thank you for this series, the five, to get us this year started off right. That maybe somehow in this whole realm, God, that we can go ahead and begin to go deeper with you, not have a resolution to seek you, but that, God, that you do a revolution in our lives. And so we know there's a lot of things. We know that there's a lot of things that are going to come and try to take these five. But, God, today's a new day. Help us to go ahead and click online and go ahead and do the online Bible just to hear a little bit more about you. Help us to go ahead and take time to pray. Help us to just do all those things that we shared today. And so, God, in that, let us give you all and praise. For so many of us, God, here, there may be some of us that just want to know you. Some of us that we're still looking at 2016, and we are just, it's like we went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson in his prime. And, God, we just are saying, wow, I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm broken. I'm exhausted. And we don't know where to go and where to turn. But, God, you say, hey, just come here. just come here, let me love you, let me give what you need. And help us just start by saying, okay, I got to make some changes in my life. I need a Savior. I need somebody to get me out of this. I need you to make yourself more real to me. I'm not seeing what I need to be seeing. I'm not seeing in the church or the world the evidence of Christ, and that's bugging me. And so Jesus may just want to say, you know what? The greatest evidence of me is in you and with the change that I'm going to make in your life when you follow me. And so whatever it may be, God, I pray for everybody here, for those online. I want to pray for those in Ocean City. And God, I would be remiss if I didn't pray for those who dealt with a horrific incident in Fort Lauderdale Airport. God, we are tired of Satan having a hold on your world. And so, God, we pray that your spirit will rise up and that we'll pray. Many of us who may be traveling or have other things, we may have some of that fear, and let us pray the 91st Psalm, that we will dwell in the shelter of the Most High and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And God, may you do your work. As we said in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And we'll take everything else and experience you. We love you. And this altar's open for people to come and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus crucified. Salvation through repentance at the cross on which he died. Now here's my absolution, forgiveness for my sin. I sink beneath the waters that Christ was buried in. With me, no fear. No fear of condemnation. By faith, I'm justified.
I was just thinking before I give the benediction that one of the things is when, and I was reminded that when we put the church in, we ripped up the carpet. Underneath here is scriptures. Some of you remember doing that, right? Some of you way back when, some of you weren't. But our whole thing was that the foundation of this church would be the Word of God. And so when you're thinking about that, when you're doing the reading, recognize that our foundation needs to be the Word of God. Don't know why I wanted to share that, but I did. So anyway, next week, we're going to talk about your five. So hopefully you're going ahead and writing down some of those, because we're going to talk about your five. Take some time to do that, and it's going to be fun. Your five, everybody having a good time? Anybody got to go to the dentist this week? All right. So anybody take pictures? Hey, Snapchat, Facebook, pictures of your feet today, if you want to. Feet of those who bring good news, all that good stuff. So have an awesome week. Say hi to somebody and have an incredible week in Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Jesus in the